I'm John Batchelor with James Holland. His new book is The Savage Storm, The Battle for Italy, 1943. It is Christmas, 1943. And all of the players' diaries are intact, except for those who are KIA or WIA. And ahead of them is a nightmare. And we need to build the nightmare because that comes next in James's presentation. The next book, or whatever book it comes, I want to get to Rome, but we're well short of Rome right now. And above them all, above the Liri Valley that they've penetrated through, is Monte Cassino. What is that, James?
Well, Monte Cassino is the is a little sort of mountain massive which runs down to a little kind of sort of peak and a little point that sticks out over the Liri Valley, which is this sort of valley floor, wide valley floor, which is basically the route up to Rome, along which the Via Casilina, Highway 6, runs from Naples all the way to the Eternal City. But right at the edge of this massive is a Benedictine monastery, which was abbey, which was founded in the 6th century by St. Benedict, and it's still there. And it towers over the Liri Valley and over the town of Cassino, which lies at the foot of the mountains below. And it's an obvious strong point because it overlooks the valley below, and particularly the road which hugs the mountains on that side of the valley. And of course, again, you know, the Germans are there and they've got observers up there, and they make this the absolute kind of sort of bulwark of the next defensive line, the Gustav line, which follows the cracking open of the Bernhard line, the winter line, which the Americans managed to prize open with the support of the British late December 1943. So having got through this terrible battle from kind of, you know, back end of from the beginning of November, 2 months worth of trying to hammer their way through the Bernhard line, the winter line, the start of 1944, they find themselves confronted with this next part of the kind of double lock system here, which is the Gustav line around Monte Cassino. And that's what they're facing on Christmas 1943.
Mauss, he reflects that it's been a very bad year for the Hitlerites. Stalingrad, Tunis, the U-boats lost the North Atlantic, and the Eastern Front is a nightmare of losses. I don't think he's been to the Eastern Front, but he reads about it. And yet his motivation to continue to fight, I take it as an example of the leadership in the Wehrmacht at this point. They believed that Germany would be ransacked in the way that Italy's being ransacked. Was that his reasoning?
Yep. That's pretty much it. You know, you know, you reap what you sow, and they've wrought huge amounts of violence and destruction on Europe and indeed on Soviet Union. And when things start to go badly wrong, they can expect the same in return. And Mauss and other Germans that are fighting at the front, people like Jörg Zellner and Hans Golden, whatever, you know, they're looking at the destruction in Italy and thinking, this is what's going to happen to us. In fact, it's already happening thanks to kind of Allied bombers coming over on a kind of nightly basis and daily basis and pounding them. So, you know, what else can they do? I mean, do they just throw in the towel, or, you know, and suffer Armageddon and suffer the kind of a catastrophe, or do they keep fighting? And these are the dilemmas in which they are having to confront at the end of 1943.
Farley Mowat, he's enjoying a moment at Christmas, but it's a very sad moment for him. Who is Alex Campbell? What does it mean to Farley?
Well, Alex Campbell is this sort of bear of a man. He's a lovely figure. He's much loved by his men. He's the Able Company commander, which by this point, Farley Mowat is the battalion intelligence officer, but he was a subaltern, a junior officer in Able Company when he joins the HCPs, the Hastings and Prince Edward Regiment, and when he lands in Sicily. And Alex Campbell is this huge figure, and everyone absolutely loves him. He's actually been out with jaundice, and has been wounded a couple of times, but he's now back, and he comes back, and he seems completely kind of unbreakable. And yet, just before Christmas, he gives Farley Mowat this poem, and he says, oh, I've just written this. You know, you're a writer, Farley. You know, I'd love to know what you think of it. And he writes, and Farley Mowat in the kind of, you know, in this dark, damp building on Christmas Eve, or the early hours of Christmas Day, reads it and is incredibly touched because it's full of doubt and fear and worries that he's not good enough for his men and that he's got, his courage is going to fail him and all this kind of stuff. And it just seems completely out of character to the personality that is presented, that, that Campbell presents to himself. And the tragedy is that on Christmas Day, the Hasty Peas go into attack and Able Company goes into attack. And part of that attack, Alex Campbell is cut down, and killed. And, you know, again, you know, I was fortunate enough to read, his letters, and they're very, very humane and very touching. And, you know, he's clearly devoted. He's not married, but he's in his early 30s, but he's devoted to his nieces. And, you know, he's sending them Christmas messages in early December and so on. And I went to visit his grave in the Commonwealth War Grave Cemetery in Ortona. And, you know, it's hard not to feel a lump in your throat, to be honest.
James Holland, The Savage Storm, The Battle for Italy, 1943. The Gustav Line is up ahead. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.